Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to Blog Talk Radio. My name is Natasha Jugger, and I'm a ninth grader attending Suncoast Community High School. Blog Talk Sunday is brought to you by the IMA International Mastermind Association. Okay. The Youth International Mastermind Association consists of youth ranging from college down to elementary school who are just beginning their educational journey. Currently, our lives are pretty much centered around family, church, spiritual, school, and friends. But today, we are very excited to have as our guest Ms. Wanda Kennerly Lee, who will be discussing with us this evening what it takes to excel in the various stages of our education. Before we get started, all right, well, let me tell you a little bit about Ms. Wanda Kennerly Lee. Okay. The International Mastermind Association is a group of like-minded individuals who have come together based on the mastermind concept espoused in Napoleon Hill's book, Think and Grow Rich. As masterminders, we commit to coming together as a group on a regular basis for a coordination of knowledge and effort in a spirit of harmony between two or more people for the attainment of a definite purpose. We come together to share knowledge with one another, support each other in setting and achieving our goals, and to hold one another accountable to what we commit to do for ourselves. We set goals in 10 areas of our lives: spiritual, family, health, financial, civic, personal, educational, and recreational. The adult IMAers set goals in 2 other areas of their lives. They include business and creativity. So while we wait for our guest, let me read you a bio of Ms. Wanda Kennerly Lee's resume. She is a learning team facilitator for Bear Lakes Middle School, located in the Palm Beach County School District. She has a Master's of Science with a concentration in specific learning disabilities. Ms. Lee is also a specialist in educational leadership. Her certifications include teaching English grades 5 to 9, English to speakers of other languages, which is also known as ESOL, and specific learning disabilities for grades K through 12. And also, Ms. Lee attends Redemptive Life Fellowship, where she is a very wonderful member of our church. Oh, well, while we wait for our guest, I'll tell you a little something about me, the host of this show. I attend Suncoast Community High School. I am currently in the IB program. I maintain a 3.5 cumulative GPA. I'm currently in the ninth grade, and I am excelling with all A's in every one of my classes. So that's a wonderful achievement. I attend Redemptive Life Fellowship, and I volunteer at Gaines Park, and I also do sports, including basketball and track. During my course of being in the Youth International Mastermind, we've read many books, including Think and Grow Rich, and the one that we are currently on, Success for Teens. It's Real Teens Talk About Using the Slight Edge. And I found it to be very helpful to me, and even though it's only for you, I know it will be very helpful to you also. So I just want to read you a little bit of the book and just go and explain a little bit about it. So in chapter 2, it's basically about what's your philosophy. And they explain how the brain works. To understand why thinking is so powerful, let's take a quick detour through your brain. Your brain has both conscious and unconscious functions, and it's important to understand the difference. Your conscious brain is the part that does the thinking. It focuses intensely on one thing at a time. Like a flashlight beam scanning a dark room, the conscious brain is incredibly powerful at what it does, but its scope is very limited. For example, you can't remember more than a few numbers in your head at one time. Prove this to yourself. Open the phone book, read 3 phone numbers at random. Close the book and see if you can remember even one of them. But you're unconscious. It can remember lots of information at the same time. If your conscious brain is like a flashlight shining on one object at a time, your subconscious brain is like a floodlight that lights up everything at once, but only on a subconscious level, which means you're not aware of it. Your conscious brain is easily distracted. The average person loses focus 6 to 10 times per minute. You know that from being in school. How often does your subconscious lose focus? Try never. That's the key that most people don't realize. We think of our conscious functions, our will, our conscious decisions, our conscious thoughts as what is really us, and our subconscious as something that's going on under the surface and not so important as something that's going on under the surface. The truth is the subconscious runs virtually everything, and that's why some people end up in a negative situation or living the life they don't really want. They say to themselves, how did I get here? They got there on automatic pilot. Their actions programmed them into the life they ended up with, and they weren't conscious of their choices. Now I'm going to ask Ms. Anne McNeil, our mentor, to say just a few words as we wait for our guest, Mrs. Wanda Lee. Hi, Miss Anne, are you there?
Hello, Natasha. This is Miss Lee.
Oh, hi, Miss Lee. How are you today?
Hello, how are you? I'm doing well, thank you.
That's wonderful. Well, I'm just going to reintroduce you again. Okay. Ms. Wanda Lee will be discussing with us this evening what it takes to excel in the various stages of our education. Ms. Wanda Lee is a learning team facilitator for Bear Lakes Middle School, located in the Palm Beach County School District. She has a Master of Science with a concentration in specific learning disabilities. Ms. Lee is also a specialist in educational leadership. Her certifications include teaching English grades 5 to 9, English to speakers of other languages, and specific learning disabilities for grades K through 12. Ms. Lee, I have a question for you.
Yes.
I have your resume here, and it contains a wide amount of professional and developmental activities and trainings. Can you please summarize for our listening audience how you have developed your passion for education?
Okay, first of all, I'd like to say thank you to you and your group for the invitation to speak and to share with you today. I appreciate that opportunity. And to answer your question, I think focusing on the word develop is really important because it wasn't something that just instantly occurred. It was cultivated. I started out after college as a probation officer, and then I began to work with at-risk students. And as I met students at school, met their teachers, and visited the homes of these students, I really began to sense a pull or some type of an attraction to be a classroom mentor, which in turn means teacher. And as I began through the years to have continual experiences with students and parents and and currently teacher training, my desire naturally began to deepen for the education arena.
Thank you. My next question slash kind of comment for you is I'm in my first year at Suncoast High School, and during my time in elementary school, I experienced a lot of variety of changes, but of course, you know, that was from a student point of view. But I was wondering, over the course of your teaching years, could you tell us how it is from your educational, being an educator's point of view?
Well, one thing I can certainly agree with you said is change. Change is very constant in education. From your experiences as a current high schooler, I know that you've seen quite a few changes, and I will speak about that from my point of view. One thing I can tell you is for students who are currently in a public school setting, we have moved from what was known as the Florida Sunshine State Standards, and we're now in what's called the Next Generation Sunshine State Standards. Well, what does that mean? We're moving to a common core standard, meaning you can move from one state to another, and you should be able to utilize the same type of curriculum, which is a little different than what we've seen before. That is why we have more computerized testing beginning this year, and it will continue because we are going closer and closer towards the Common Core standards. Some of those areas where we've used the computerized-based testing were this year in grades 6 and 10 in reading, and for students who needed to have FCAT reading retake. We also have what's called the end-of-course assessments, or they're called EOCs for high school students and for specific middle school students in classes such as Algebra 1, Biology 1, and Geometry. Next year, we will be utilizing the U.S. History as an end-of-the-course, and this year it will be what's called field-tested, so it won't really count for students that they will be taking the U.S. History exam online. Next year, we will have seventh grade students, civic students, taking the test. So we have more computerized-based testing than we've had ever before within the scope of what our state testing is called, FCAT 2.0. Some of the other changes, we're moving towards the replacement of the FCAT 2.0. As of 2014, that will be the last year, that will be the last year for FCAT testing. FCAT and then FCAT 2.0 will end as of 2014. As of 2015, we will add as our testing the PARCC or the PARC test. And what does that mean? Well, that's called the Partnership for Assessment of Readiness for College and Careers. So the education that you're getting now and your peers are getting now is all geared towards college readiness and post-college or careers. So there's a lot of emphasis on the use of computerized state testing, and Florida is one of those states, at least 45 out of 50 states have adopted the use of the Common Core standards, and we are in line to utilize that as of the year 2015. For students who are in grades 4, 8, and 10, there are going to be changes next fall for the writing assessment. And that information hasn't been released as of yet, so it probably won't be released until you return to school in the fall. But, again, for those students who are needing to take the writing assessment in grades 4, 8, and 10, there will be additional changes to that. So there's lots to prepare for in terms of changes within our school system statewide as well as in our district of Palm Beach County.
Thank you so much. That really had, like, helped me with one of my questions, because I was wondering why would they do EOCs when some people do prefer to take the written part of the test instead of doing the computer-based test, but that really helped me. Thank you very much.
Okay, I'm glad to hear that.
And now we will take a question from the audience from Miss Alicia Smott.
Hello, Alicia.
Yes, I have a question. As far as the virtual learning is concerned, how much will students, high school students, how many classes would they be able to take online? Would they eventually be able to take all of their classes online or just maybe a selected few?
Well, the Florida Virtual School is really a wonderful program that's been added to the curriculum for our students as a free opportunity, actually. First of all, getting practice with using online coursework and having it count towards their graduation. And it is voluntary. It's not mandatory, but it is a voluntary effort. So going to the website, our school-based website, the Palm Beach County School District, or if you're in another Florida district, going to your school's website and looking for virtual school information, it will give you all of the opportunities that are available for students grades K through 12 and the classes that are offered and the terms that they are offered. And definitely that is something to utilize now. Not something that's always been available, but now that it is, it's definitely a bonus for a lot of students in terms of helping them take classes that they would not ordinarily have to take in the school setting and be behind. I hope that answers your question.
Yes, thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you. And now I would like to turn it over to my co-host, Ms. Monet Turner, to do our commercial break. Monet, are you there?
Yes. You are listening to the Blog Talk Radio Station of the Youth International Masterminders Association. Join us the first Sunday of each month at 5 p.m. as we interview a different guest each month on topics that can help us to shape our future. This show is live, and you can join us by calling 661-554-9219 and pressing 1 on your phone to ask a question, or logging on to www.blogtalkradio.com/masterminders. We would also appreciate it if you would invite your family and friends to listen in as well. Please like us on Facebook or give us a tweet. For more information about the International Mastermind Association, its members, and values, please visit us at www.internationalmasterminders.org. Now back to introduction, our guest, Ms. Wanda Kennelly.
Hello.
Thank you, Monet. And now we will just have another question from the audience member. Her phone number ends with 0970. Caller, you are on the air. I believe it's Ms. Ebanks.
Yes, I have a question for Ms. Lee.
Hello, how are you?
I'm doing wonderful. Yeah, you have mentioned a lot of changes that takes place. How much input does the teachers, the educators have when it comes to these changes? How much input? How does the changes come about?
First of all, most of the changes that are occurring always take place in our legislature. So that's why it's important to actually have current information as to what's going on with our state policymakers, because teachers have the opportunity and actually are supposed to implement those changes. The input you're asking about is really not going to take place on a teacher level. The implementation takes place in their classroom. The real implementation takes place in the boardroom and in the policymakers in the legislature season. So that's opportunity for citizens to voice concerns, provide feedback, and to have input before those changes have taken place at the state level. But once they reach the district level, really the teachers have to implement the changes that have already occurred, because they've now become Florida statutes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Now I'm going to ask you just one question. Are there programs that exist, like statewide or in our school district, that we as students could take advantage of to sharpen our skills and to increase our grades?
Well, any student that really wants to increase their grade, I don't think that you're going to be turned away from any person on the school campus. So I know in the middle school, on the middle school level, for students who unfortunately may find themselves with failing grades, there is a program called the Compass Program. And to get further information from your particular school, you should contact your grade level assistant principal or your school guidance counselor. And the teacher. Teachers are your first line of defense, believe it or not, because that's the person that's going to input your grade. And no teacher really wants to see students fail because that's the reflection of what they offer you. So going to your teacher or teachers, your guidance counselor, speaking with your assistant, grade level assistant principal, and letting them know your concern for your current grade. And, yes, we only have a few weeks left of school, however, but there are programs that are available on the school campus to help students increase their grade. And that's the procedure that you would follow. Teacher, guidance counselor, a school level, grade level assistant principal. Those are the people that can help you enroll in those programs and provide your parents with the correct documentation that's needed. And please notify your parents because everything is time sensitive and you want to be able to get the information in there and be counted for before school ends because those programs begin right at school and those particular programs begin. As far as increasing and sharpening skills, again, I would definitely utilize guidance counselors because so many resources come across the desk of guidance counselors that take place on the outside of the school. There are agencies, there are community agencies, there are community groups and organizations who send information directly to guidance counselors. So they are excellent resources in most schools to share information with students. And it's kind of unfortunate that they are involved in so many other activities that they may not be able to go in the classrooms and share the information. That as individual students, you can schedule an appointment to meet with your school guidance counselor. If you're at a school that is a magnet school, your magnet coordinator also has a wealth of information that can be shared with you regarding skill-building programs and skill-building opportunities.
Thank you. And now we have another caller who wants to ask a question. Oh, wait, no. Well, I'm going to ask you one more question before we go back to our callers.
Okay.
We currently have, like, approximately 4 weeks of school left before the summer. And I don't know if it's kind of late to ask this question, but is there anything we should do before these last 3 weeks to potentially raise up our grades, like, one level? Our letter grade or our number grade up one level?
Well, what I would do in that situation and what I have had students to do in that situation is, first of all, they go back and they look to see, have I completed the task that my teachers have given me? And, well, how would you know that? Well, we have a computerized system called EdLine in our county, in our district, and it provides you a scope of lessons or activities that were provided by your teachers, and it's easy to see whether you completed those assignments or not. And if those assignments were not completed, then you should go to the teacher and ask, well, what are opportunities I have to, well, complete them, or perhaps the teacher can provide an alternate assignment. That's really up to the teacher. That's the first thing that you may want to do. And secondly, again, you may want to speak with the guidance counselor because if you're a middle school student or a high school student, you receive points. And those points generate into what's called a grade point average, and I'm sure you know about that. So they have a system that's determined to tell what your grade should be in terms of points by the end of the year. And if you don't reach a certain level of points, unfortunately, you may end up with a grade lower than what you'd expect or lower than what you would like, and that's the opportunity to speak to them about the end of the school year program that is available for students who find themselves in a situation where they may have failing classes. You don't have to be a student who has failed. You could be a student who may be on the verge of failing, or you just don't have a successful grade point average. You have opportunity to speak to a guidance counselor and in the grade level assistant principal to see if he or she can intervene for you. It wouldn't hurt.
Thank you. We have another question from a caller, Ms. Ebanks. Ms. Ebanks, you're on the air.
Thank you, Ms. Lee. Thank you so much for being on this program and giving us all this wonderful information. Is there anything that a parent can do to help their kid as they go through the school, this whole system? I mean, what kind of resources are available to the parents to assist the children?
Well, a couple of things that I would suggest is utilizing what is available, and what is available to students, parents, educators alike is for Palm Beach County Schools website, because it's a wealth of information. You can look into each department, the Department of Curriculum, and find out subject by subject what are the expectations, what are the subject offerings, what does it look like. You can even copy some of the material. Also, the Florida Department of Education website, it gives you everything from A to Z concerning testing or assessments, statewide testing, when they're offered, sample course materials or sample materials for practice, and particularly for those computerized-based tests, there are practice tests that students can utilize from their home. So using the school district website and utilizing the Florida Department of Education website, that would be, just provide you a plethora of information that both you and your student can view together, and just really fill in a lot of blanks. So when you meet with teachers, you can come from a vantage point of, I know about this, and then they can hopefully explain how it's utilized in the classroom, and together you all can have a successful program of helping your child learn, because it really is a parent-teacher connection. It really is. I'm glad you asked that question.
So it's Palm Beach County School website and the state website that are those resources?
Yes. I, at the end of the questioning, I was going to provide those websites for any persons that would be interested, because, again, it is something to explore, both as the adult and as the parent with your child, because there's a lot of information that perhaps both of you may not be aware of that's free to access from both the school district website and then from the state-based website, which is the Florida Department of Education.
Great. I'm sure all the parents on the line would appreciate that information at the end. Just one question. If a student feel like they're being discriminated against by their teacher, how should they handle that?
Well, the grade level assistant principal is there not just for discipline. I know a lot of students may not feel really comfortable going to their grade level assistant principal, but that person is also an administrator on the campus, and they have eyes for both the students, and they see a lot of information going on that the student may not be aware of. So to share with the grade level assistant principal and ask for a meeting. There really can be mediation going on the school campus. And then, of course, you, the parent, will want to be involved. But for the student to share information with the grade level administrator, that can mean the administrator can come in the classroom and just casually view some things. The teacher really would not need to know what is going on, because that's very common for administrators to go in and out of classrooms. But I think that would be a first line of defense in terms of having someone on the school campus to be another pair of eyes, and then, of course, you, the parent, to advocate for your child as well by setting up an appointment to meet with the administrator and then the teacher of concern. That's what I would do.
Okay, great. Can I, let me make sure I understood. Did you say grade level or gray level?
Grade level. At the middle, at the elementary school, there's usually the principal and one assistant principal, and then there are usually three assistant principals at the middle school level, one for grade 6, 7, and 8, and then on the high school level, there's even more, one per grade, 9, 10, 11, and 12. And they also have deans. So you have a lot of administrators on the school campus to be an extra pair of eyes and ears. And, again, they're not just there for discipline. So I would definitely utilize those administrators there.
Okay, great. Thank you so much for your time and answering my question. I really appreciate it. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Hi, Ms. Lee. This is Natasha. Right now we're going to... Hi. Right now I'm going to go to my co-host, Monet Turner. Monet, may you please... Oh, well, Monet, you're on the air for the commercial.
Okay. Again, you're listening to Block Talk Radio, Station of the Youth, International Masterminders Association. Join us the first Sunday of each month at 5 p.m. as we interview a different guest each month on topics that can help to shape our future. The show is live. You can join in by calling 661-554-9219. And pressing 1 on your phone to ask a question or logging on to www.blogtalkradio.com/masterminders. We would also appreciate it if you would invite your family and friends to listen as well. Please like us on Facebook or give us a tweet. For more information about the International Mastermind Association, its members, and values, please visit us at www.internationalmasterminders.org. Now, back to Natasha and our guest, Ms. Wanda Kimberly-Hu.
Thank you, Monet. Now, I'm just going to ask you one question. My question would be, do you have any advice for the students on the air? I mean, even the teachers, like, do you have any advice for the students or teachers on what they should do over the summer, maybe to get ready for school next fall since summer is coming up so quickly?
Well, for, I would say for the older students, because you are really being faced with a lot of tests that you weren't really introduced to in previous years. And for some students, that can be kind of overwhelming. I would say instead of maybe just looking in a particular book or math or reading problems, I would say take advantage of some of the local history, go to the museum, go to take advantage of some of the opportunities that you may have at the Palm Beach State College. They actually have something called a Summer Youth College. Do volunteerism, and believe it or not, a lot of the information that you will get or that you will gain, and yes, please take brochures. When you're testing, you've seen something called informational text. That's really informational text. You're just living it. And those are experiences that you can write about when you have to do your FCHET writing, when you need background knowledge, maybe you're taking your history exam or when you've gone to museums. You may have gone to art galleries and you had to learn about the history of something. All of that helps to prepare you for critical thinking skills. And it's also fun. It's enjoyable. So it's not just placing your face in front of a book, although that's wonderful. It's just another opportunity to do something different, particularly since it's over the summer. And work is wonderful, but really volunteering, I think, is a wonderful way to expose yourself to real-world experiences, and that's really where we're going as a district and as a state. And I'll go back to that with the Common Core Standards. It's providing real-world information and being able to read about it and write about it. And when you experience it, it's in your head. So it's easy to activate when you have to use it, paper and pencil or computer-based tests these days. So providing volunteer opportunities, guidance counselor, again, is a great source for finding out what are some of those opportunities available to you at the particular ages, whether it's elementary school, middle school or high school. There are other opportunities that we just may not know about beyond the summer camp. So use your in-school resources to help you with that.
Thank you. One of our callers, Ms. Sharon Jackson, has a question for you. Ms. Sharon, you're on the air.
Thank you. I think that you mentioned early on that one of the things that we do is help youth develop goals and achieve goals, okay? And the whole point is that to create a well-rounded life. The thing that has kind of stressed me is that the school that I work, they provide agendas, okay, to the students. Not all schools do it, apparently, but our school does. And the point of giving agendas is so that all the teachers would be able to give, you know, the dates of when all the major assignments, the dates of when the tests are going to be, the dates when report cards are going to come out, so that our youth would be able to plan their time. What I have been talking to the teachers and hearing the teachers say is that many of our minority students have not been using their agendas for more than using them to get permission to go to the bathroom. And that stresses me. I wonder if there is something that we should be doing as adults and maybe as the International Mastermind to start working with our kids to write down and start budgeting their time. Even if their school does not give them agendas, our kids, even if they don't do it on paper, I rely very heavily on the calendar that is in my phone now. I don't care how they do it. I don't care if they do it on the phone or if they write it, even though I think writing it actually helps you remember it. I'm wondering if there is a strategy that you might be able to talk to us about to make sure that our kids start planning their time.
Well, I love the use of the agenda. I absolutely love it. And I think that students love it, too, because it really provides a lot of structure. Parents tend to enjoy it as well because it gives them a bird's-eye view of what's going on in each class each day, and there's so much that goes on within a day, so to have it written down, and then when the student and the parent is able to have conversation at the end of the night or the end of the day, you don't have to rely on memory or faulty memory. If there's conversation that's needed to take place between the parent and the teacher, it's written there, and it's also very, very useful for parent-teacher conferences. I used to use it. And actually, some parents would ask if I could make a copy, and that was no problem. So when we had conferences, we could talk about what happened a month ago or 2 months ago. So it's really useful. And what I found to be useful, and I think, Ms. Jackson, this may be where you were thinking, is how to have the buy-in with the student and the parent. Well, ask the student to copy down the information during the day, and it just becomes mandatory at the end of the afternoon, parents sign the agenda. And the next day at school, the student again goes through writing down information, and at the end of the week, perhaps the parent and the child can come to some kind of an agreement or some kind of a reward system, whether it's a verbal praise or whether it's some kind of tangible reward at the end of the week. If I have all of your information written down and it's legible, I can understand it. Well, this may be something that you work towards. And that's been pretty successful from what I've seen before. And it just makes life a lot more pleasant for both the student and for the parent, and particularly for the teacher, because not a lot is really missed. It's a great form of communication for all three parties. It really is.
Thank you. Now we have a question from Ms. Ireland Annette. She is one of our youth IMA teachers for when we even have our own calls. Ms. Annette, you
Hello.
Are on the air.
Thank you very much, Natasha. Good evening, Ms. Lee.
Hello,
my name
how
is
are
Annette
you?
Ireland. I heard you mention about activities that the students can participate in during the summer to continually help them keep up with what's going on within the educational world. my question is, do you guys have mass transportation, a mass transportation system, so that the kids can go from one museum to the next and also to go to the college?
Well, let me speak about the youth college. I know people who have worked there, and what I found to be really good is that they offer classes at, well, it's through Palm Beach State College, first of all, in Palm Beach County. And that's a pretty broad area. So the colleges really range from Boca Raton, which is south, of course, Lake Worth, which is central, and then north in Palm Beach Gardens. So that covers pretty much the gamut. I'm not sure about the Glades area, but I know in those three locations, the Palm Beach State College offers the summer youth. So with that being said, there is major transportation at each of those school sites. There's bus transportation available, public bus transportation available. As far as some of the other places, one place that I think is underutilized is the public library, Palm Beach County, as well as West Palm Beach, for those listeners that are, that live in Palm Beach County. And beyond the books on the shelf, the public library in on the county system as well as in the city offers so many classes and workshops that are free or very little cost to both adults and to youth. It's really underutilized. And each month they put out a listing of their offerings. And I'm sure between whether it's crafts, which again is great for problem solving, some of the crafts that they offer because they are – they really have to utilize critical thinking for some of them and use of the keyboard because many of our tests now are going to be computer-based. Our students are used to using the keyboard for games perhaps and not necessarily for typing information and then for, of course, accuracy and speed, which is going to be needed for test taking. So using the public library is one other system, and yes, there is public transportation at most public libraries. They have to offer that right at the site. The American Red Cross offers a leadership program for youth, and it's excellent. And I believe one of the activities is to meet at the at one of the universities, Florida Atlantic University. And again, that's information that can be found through guidance counselors at school, middle and high schools. And as far as the public transportation for that, that's probably an overnight situation. So more information is provided through the brochure. But to answer your question, yes, most of the volunteer opportunities do provide public transportation availability in the surroundings to really meet the needs of the masses, from what I've seen.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Another question. How does Palm Beach County connect with their parents? I mean, I know when kids get in trouble, that's a phone call. But in order to build a healthy relationship with the parents in Palm Beach County, how does that come about? What is it that Palm Beach County does in order to create a healthy relationship with parents and, I guess, basically with the community and the school?
Well, one such use for academic purposes are just communicating information about grades is the use of the computer-based EdLine program, and each school utilizes that. And teachers, at least a biweekly basis, are to upload current grades so that the parent and the child can see what the current status is. So that's one use of communication. On the marquee, every school has a marquee, and it is to provide up-to-date information on what is happening on the school site. And, of course, as a parent, you're able to go into the front office and just browse around because there has to be information posted that is up-to-date and that is current. And the grade level, if your child is in middle or high school, the grade level assistant principal again, or the secretaries in the front office can provide you information as to what is going on that month. On the elementary level, there is an assistant principal available, and that person would be your contact as far as what is going on for the month within that school in a general basis. But for specifics, utilizing the classroom teacher or teachers by scheduling an appointment or calling for an appointment. And most schools require teachers to contact parents within a 24 to 48-hour turnaround. And if that hasn't happened where you've been able to contact the parent, I'm sorry, the teacher, then you would utilize the assistant principal. But in most cases, it's a 24 to 48-hour turnaround. They're required to contact parents.
Okay. I'm sorry for asking, but I have another question. I was reading a couple years ago that Palm Beach County has within its school district a police department, and this information is coming from the NAACP, a National Defense Fund. There was an article about it was called Pipeline from Schools to Jails. And, of course, NAACP was scrutinizing the fact that the school district, and I'm very concerned about this because, number one, I know kids, and I know kids get into that. Well, kids don't think, a lot of them, before they do things. And I became very concerned about this whole thing in reference to Palm Beach County because I am a product of Palm Beach County Public Schools. And whereas kids get in trouble within the school district, that the police department, so the municipal police department is called. And so basically what happens is it starts building a criminal record for the child. And I personally would like to know, do you guys still have that system in place where there's a police department within inside your school district?
Well, yes, there is a school police officer based on school campuses. But
like a
unless
officer.
There is a crime that is committed by the student, the first opportunity for I guess, investigating surroundings about this child and the child's behavior will be what's called a school-based team. And the school-based team is made up of teachers, principal or assistant principal, various teachers, guidance counselors, and other designated staff. And there's a tiered system. And the whole premise behind that is that students are not just placed anywhere, but there are interventions that are set so that the child is not easily just set up for a system of crime. So unless there is a crime or an offense that deems the, you know, municipalities to become involved outside of the school system, that is not the first line of defense. And the school-based officer is employed by the outside and housed at schools just for additional safety on the school campus. But normally you would not find that officers outside of the school will be on your school campus unless it is deemed necessary. That is not the normal situation.
So if a child, if two students get into a fight, then that won't go outside to the police department?
If students happen to get into a fight, normally what's going to happen is they're going to be placed in an area of safety apart from each other. And that may mean they are going to speak with an assistant principal. They could sit with two other adults who are trained to restrain them because you do have certain personnel who are trained in physical restraint, so that they know how to, you know, keep students at bay without causing additional harm. The police officer may or may not become involved. It just depends on the situation. But that is not the first response, is for a police officer to become involved in that, in a fight, It could mean having the students have a cool-down period and then go through mediation with guidance counselors. It really depends on the situation.
Okay.
And the student's history.
What's your guys' dropout rate?
I beg your pardon?
What's your all's dropout rate?
I'm not sure. I'm at the middle school level, and as far as the dropout rate, that's changing so much because of now some students not being able to pass the FCAT, the old FCAT, and they have opportunities now where they can take GED testing or they can utilize ACT scores or they can utilize SAT scores. So that I'm not sure about. I do know that we have a graduation task force for black males. So that has been a problem in the past, and it is not up to par with majority students. But to give you an actual percentage, that I can't do. I'm not sure of that.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Thank you.
You are welcome.
Thank you so much. Will my co-host, Monet Turner, please go to commercial? Monet, you're on the air.
The Youth International Masterminders Association join us the first Sunday of each month at 5 p.m. as we interview a different guest each month on topics that can help to shape our future. This show is live, and you can join us by calling 661-554-929 and pressing 1 on your phone to ask the question. Or logging on to www.blogtalkradio.com/masterminders. We would also appreciate it if you would invite your family and friends to listen in as well. Please like us on Facebook or give us a tweet. For more information about the International Mastermind Association, its members, and values, please visit us at www.internationalmasterminders.org. Now back to Natasha and our guests. Ms. Wanda Kinderly-Lee.
Thank you, Monet. Our next question will come from Ms. Ann McNeil, who is a very important person in our youth IMA. She's our mentor, and she would like to ask a question. Ms. McNeil, you're on the air.
Hello, Ms. Lee.
Hi, how are you?
If I were any better, my dear, I would be you. Thank you so very much on behalf of our entire organization for coming on and sharing with all of us today. Personally, I've learned so very much. And my question is, And my question is, how can we be of service to you? We are an international organization, and we are always looking for youth to see how we can help them have a better quality of life by sharing our concepts through Napoleon Hill's book, Think and Grow Rich, and helping to hold them accountable. And as you can see from our host and co-host, they are all growing into wonderful, 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 very intelligent young people, men and women, boys and girls.
Yes.
And so we just like to reach out to you and share what we do with you and encourage you and our listening audience, of course, like Monet Turner just suggested, to go to our website at www.internationalmasterminders.com and let us know how we can be of service to you, because you may have some kids that you'd like for us to work with as they mastermind.
Yes.
You heard from Annette earlier, she was asking the questions, and Ms. Allen is one of the volunteers that works with our young people every single Sunday at 5 o'clock, helping them to be held accountable for 10 different areas of their lives. What they do at the beginning of the year, they set goals in the 10 areas of their lives, and every Sunday they're held accountable to those goals.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have any ideas or any kids that you'd like for us to work with, please, you can let us know, and we'll be glad to work with them.
Thank you for sharing that. I did write down your website, and this is just a wonderful group. So I will definitely be utilizing that information, and hopefully we can do something together, that would be great.
Thank you. Thank you. But that was my question, just to make sure that if you had anyone, you know, that you just, you know, remember us because we're here to help.
Thank you. That's much appreciated. Thank you so much.
Ms. Lee, in closing, we're just wondering if you have any last thoughts or things you would like to share with the audience, please do that, including your contact information.
Okay.
And the information that you had promised to share with us earlier.
Thank you for reminding me. Yes, there are three websites that I would like to leave with you. And one is, it's not directly affiliated with the Florida Virtual School, but it gives you information for learning virtual information, which is very much needed. And this first website is www.learning.com. And it provides learning for vocabulary development, reading, math, and keyboarding skills, which is needed for our computer-based testing. The second website is palmbeachschools.org. And that's the school board website for Palm Beach County. The third and last website is www.FLarryBoe.org. And that's the Florida Department of Education website. And please just utilize that. It has a lot to offer. Once you start exploring, you will see it's just a wealth of information.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Yes. Just one more time for the audience, just in case anybody didn't catch that. May you please repeat the websites for us?
Sure, I'd be happy to. www.learning.com, which provides information on the Florida Virtual School learning capabilities for vocabulary, reading, math, and keyboarding skills. The second is www.palmbeachschools.org. And the last one, www.FLBOE.org. And that's the Florida Department of Education website. So those
Thank
three
you.
Websites really give you an overview as to what's happening in our district and within the state of Florida and concerning the virtual school capabilities.
Thank you so much. Thank you very much for joining us, Ms. Wanda Lee. And
thank you, and it was all my pleasure.
On behalf of myself and my co-host, and I'd just like to thank everyone for joining us today on Blog Talk Radio. And also, please join us again on the first week of the first Monday of June the 3rd, for our next Blog Talk Radio at 5 p.m. And have a wonderful rest of your day before you have to start the week tomorrow.
Thank you. Have a great week as well.
You too.